The metaverse is emerging as the next big technology platform and promises to be the next frontier for human experiences on the internet. Into the Metaverse covers companies, technologies, and trends that are bringing these promises to life. Join creator and host Jonathan Ross Friedman, founder and CEO of Supersocial, as he interviews the brilliant minds that are building, shaping, and investing in the Metaverse.
Welcome to Into the Metaverse. I'm Jan, CEO of Supersocial and the host for your show today. I'm delighted to bring today a really, really wonderful conversation. Happy to be joined by Christel Hauserman, a decorated marketing executive. We went deep on all things marketing on the Roblox platform and how brands need to think about reaching Gen Z and younger audiences. A bit on Christel's background. She was most recently the CMO of 1111 Media, the company founded by Paris Hilton to transform the celebrities' consumer products, entertainment, and media empire for a youth audience. Notably, they launched also a persistent Roblox experience themed around Paris, which we will talk about. Before 1111 Media, Christel was the CMO of Evil Geniuses. She also has experience working with the NBA on marketing and Gen Z fan acquisition and at Warner Brothers, among many other things. In her career, she was awarded by Forbes as a top 50 most entrepreneurial CMOs in April 2023 and by Brand Innovators as an industry innovator in September 2022. And so on and so forth. And with that resume out of the way, Christel, so excited to welcome you today.
Thank you, Jan. I feel like we should be doing this in Roblox, right? That just struck me. Maybe in the future, we will go into the metaverse, into a metaverse platform, but very excited to be here. Thank you for that intro. I always say I grew up in and big like Fortune 500 brand of Warner Brothers, but have had the really great fortune to help some of the most innovative kind of cutting edge startups from, as you mentioned, Paris Hilton's 1111, Evil Geniuses, so gaming and esports. And then also I was mid-stage, I'll call it, at Fullscreen, which was one of the first creator economy startups, really taking creators, brands, culture, and bringing them all together. It was a revolutionary company well before its time, which ended up selling to Warner Media. And so I was part of that whole adventure of a scrappy startup to big billion-dollar acquisition. So, yeah.
So we're going to talk about some of these experiences and how you see some of the core changes that have been happening in the industry and in human behavior and so on and so forth. But before that, and before we jump into kind of the weeds of our conversation, the first thing we like to ask when we meet with folks on the podcast and really to make sure that we have a chance to hear a diverse perspective, that's kind of a diverse spectrum of perspective about what is really the thing that a lot of people still refer to as the metaverse. And so for you, based on what you see and everything you've heard, you've read, and your own experience really over the past few years, how do you define this category that is gradually emerging, even though some media folks claim it's dead? You know, we believe that it's only just getting started. But what is your definition of what the metaverse is?
It's definitely not dead. So we'll talk about that. I think, this was the most intimidating question, I think, of all the questions, right? Because I don't fancy myself. There are so many amazing experts out there on the metaverse. What does it mean? Where are we? What stage are we in? There are companies trying to own the metaverse, as we know. And so when I think about it, I go to the experts, right? Two of my favorite books I'll plug for Kathy Durkin Tomaso. This is one of my favorites, Navigating the Metaverse. And then, of course, I have Matthew Ball's book, The Metaverse. To me, look, it's not dead, right? If you take a look at daily active users now on Roblox as of last month, is over 70 million. 70 million people, visitors coming in every single day. That's Roblox, right? Understandably, Roblox isn't the entire metaverse. But I think it's an indicator, right? It's a platform or a portal into what we'll be calling the metaverse, or what is the metaverse. Juxtapose that within 2020, you know, daily active users on that platform in particular were at about 23 million, right? So you're approaching 3x over 4 years. There are 5.5 million experiences on the platform, including some of the ones that Supersocial has been behind. And 60% of the users are under 16, right? So it is this engaged, fandom on the Roblox platform in particular. If we're talking about the metaverse in total, it's much bigger than just, you know, the Roblox platform. But I think that's the one that people are starting to understand and is very, it's a great example of the potential of the metaverse. I look at the, again, to the experts like Kathy and Dirk and Tommaso to help articulate. There's even an amazing passage in the book where all three of them give a completely different definition of what the metaverse is. And Tommaso's the one that kind of really stuck with me because I think it's really clear. And I'm just going to read it and then we can dig into it. But he says, and very eloquent, he's the UC Berkeley faculty there on entrepreneurship. He says, the metaverse is the next generation of consumer engagement. An immersive experience with a self-sustaining, community-driven economy at its center. It's a new digital reality for consumers empowering joint value creation to build empathy with brands by becoming part of the product rather than being the target of advertising. And it's that last thing that I think is really important, especially coming to this conversation as a chief marketer and a CMO. It's the difference between bombarding people with paid ads across social platforms and inviting them into an immersive world and an experience to learn, to educate, to connect with community, to co-create, and to be part of the brand story. So to me, when I think of the metaverse, albeit through a very marketer lens, that's the part of it that I'm very excited about.
Yeah, and I think that these are all great reflections. And, you know, certainly, especially because you're a marketer and marketing and marketers market to people, right? We don't market to machines, well, yet.
Yet.
There will certainly be sentient beings in the future. Always go back to watch Ex Machina, and we're probably closer to Ex Machina today than ever before. And so, you know, when we started Super Social in early 2020, it wasn't on the back of, hey, there's this thing called Roblox. It's so big. We got to be there. Like, that was part of the conversation. But really, I think what was so illuminating in that period of time was that it was the culmination of about 10 years of a massive transformation of the internet for young people, moving from a place where really all young people had was video games, and some of them were able to access the first wave of mobile applications. And really what happened in the 2010s, we had the explosion or the inflection point where several major platforms came together and fed one another to make virtual worlds in 3D a new redefinition of what a social platform looks like for young people. And that's Minecraft in 2012 that exploded, and Roblox in 2015 that started to pick up. And YouTube became this sort of focal point of discoverability to learn about how you use those platforms and also how do you create, because most of the content, actually on Roblox, it's all of the content is built by developers, creators, i.e. not by the platform. And so, and what was so striking to us, and it still is, and I think we're so early in that journey, is that human behavior shift where it's no longer about just scrolling through a web page or a mobile app or Facebook page. You actually have a sense of presence in these experiences. And there is a redefinition of how people express themselves, connect, communicate, play, and so on and so forth. And what's so exciting over the past 2 years, and, you know, connecting now to the work you've done and still do, is brands really discovering the value and the opportunity in connecting with these next generation audiences. And so I'd love to hear a bit more on specifically with the journey you've been with 1111 Media, where Paris Hilton was one of the first, certainly maybe not the IP, but certainly the first celebrity to embrace wholeheartedly the opportunity with the Roblox platform. And so I'm curious, what was the thought process that you guys went through together as a group that gave the confidence that, I mean, at the minimum, let's experiment, let's get in there, but really give you the confidence to invest and have a strategy where Paris really came not once, but twice to launch experiences on the Roblox platform. That's what I think it would be great for our listeners to understand that genesis and what was the insight and the level of conviction to go for it.
Totally. Look, I'll address two things here. Paris has always been an innovator for the past 20 years of her career. And so I think hat tip to her being at the tip of the spear of the experimentation of saying she understood the opportunity, right? And if you're talking about creating an iconic brand there and continuing to stay relevant amongst a youth-centered audience. I think for her, the calculus was very, very straightforward and simple, right? To go where her fandom is and creates. And so, you know, always has been an innovator and a trailblazer for years, right? And so I think you have to have the will of the person at the top of a brand, any brand considering. And I'll talk a little bit, like going to go build in Roblox is not for everyone. And not everybody should be there. And I'd love to talk about that too. I get questions a lot, like, should I be building in Roblox? What should we be doing? And I'm like, not every brand's there. And maybe we can talk about like, what are some of the things that I think would add up a calculus to then give Jan and team a call and say, hey, we want to do something there. Or some, what I'll call like test and learn or experimentation sort of things that could be a conduit in without having to go full in. But second, I will give a shout out to my former colleague, Cynthia Miller, who's the head of innovation over at 1111. And she, well, boy, educated me on the power of Roblox being in the metaverse, kind of showing up. And she's just a fantastic innovator and at the cutting edge. And so really our calculus and kind of bring all those together was building an experience for the community where you kind of really create, and it's community first, Jan. I think that's probably something, if you look at the most successful activations or experiences in the metaverse, is much bigger, but for the sake of this conversation, I know we're going to focus on Roblox, Allo Sanctuary. My friend Angelique over there really building up that experience, and it's been wildly successful. I think they just crossed 105 million visitors into that experience. Elf, of course, Elf Beauty just launched in November, that I know your team was behind, all the development work and the great insights around that, you know, 6.4 million. I think it's impossible to deny we needed to, very experimental and innovative company, wanted to be where Gen Z and Gen Alpha, actually, you know, we average user, 60% of users under 16, are playing, creating, and connecting with community. And so I think it was really as simple as that, right? It's going. And I think, you know, to touch on what I indicated before where we started is, should every brand be in the platform building? No, right? It is an expensive endeavor to go build an experience that is good, as you very well know. Like it's an investment. And not every brand should be there. But I think those that are, you know, really want to engage with that fandom, I think brands that have what I'll call a little bit of test and learn appetite to know that that direct funnel to sales and conversion and that sort of thing, we're not there yet, right? And so I think being able to have that appetite to want to experiment, try things also has to be, if you're that kind of organization that wants to be where culture is and wants to be at the cutting edge and has a little, what I'll call the line items in your budget for test and learn and experimentation, I think it's a fun place to do it. I'll give an example. One of the activations we did, we were the first at 1111 or Paris and team to bring a L'Oreal brand into the metaverse on the Roblox platform. And that was really progressive for a brand, a beauty brand. So, because how does beauty, you know, now with Elf, but how does beauty come to life in a digital world in a way that is impactful? But it was really one of those early pioneering, you know, pilot programs, right? And I think that's one of the shortcuts, I would call it, Jan, like to if you're a brand that's not ready to kind of go full in and full all and create like a world from the ground up, because again, to do it right, it's very intentional. A lot of people and a lot of teams work on it. I think being able to create an experience within an existing world is a really fun way to do it. And that's what, you know, with Urban Decay, we did a Halloween experience and ran for, I think, a couple weeks, less than a month. And had over 500,000 people come through that experience for Urban Decay, where they got to interact with digital makeup products and boutiques. And there was a runway show. And it was fantastic. I think that the buzz also around that pop-up within the world, I think, drove like 65 million social impressions, coverage in like 30 outlets across tech and innovation and beauty. And so I think we're still early days in what it looks like to come in. And I think if you have that appetite to know that it's still experimentation, it's still test and learn, and be really clear with your CFO and other people on the leadership team about what it is and why you're doing it. I think that's the really smart and savvy way to kind of go into this world. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does. I think these are great comments. And, you know, the way I would build on top of what you said, which is at the bare minimum, I think there is a opportunity now to at least test and learn. And I believe that every brand that has a touch point with consumers, of course, in different level of importance, there's a huge difference between a fashion brand and between a hospitality brand. But every brand that has a touch point with the consumer, I think at the minimum, over the next 18, 24 months, should test and learn, and at least invest in testing and learning. Because otherwise, you're just not learning. You don't really know what's happening. You're just relying on third-party information from whatever is written in Vogue Business or in Business Insider or, you know, VentureBeat and so on and so forth. So at the minimum, it's test and learn. But certainly, I think there are now brands who are already investing significant capital where it's more tied to business objectives. But the main thing you said, which I agree with you, in the evolution of this category at the moment, we are certainly not at a place yet where there is a full funnel analysis and you're able to understand how things convert into loyalty programs or e-commerce purchases and so on and so forth. But that's why also we don't see yet brands coming into Roblox and investing $5 to $10 million a year. You see brands coming in and put $500,000, $1 million plus, and that's like considered top tier investment, right? And that's what I think of as kind of level three investment. But I do believe the next leap forward has to be really that ability to fully analyze your funnel, convert into some form of a business asset, if it's purchase of a real good or buying a movie ticket or subscribing to your loyalty program and so on and so forth. Because virtual goods, as important as they are, at least over the next 5 to 10 years potentially, will not supersede and will not even get close to match the amount of money spent in real world. Although I would say in the next 2 to 3 decades, and you know, we can do this podcast again in 2050
yes.
and see my results, I do believe that there will be a point of time when the metaverse really emerges, where people will invest as much in their virtual identity as much as their physical. But the beautiful thing is that I think those two things will start connecting together over the next 5, 10 years. And we're seeing it, right? I when we built NARS ColorQuest, one of the things we saw, which was incredible, there was a few female users in NARS ColorQuest that customized their avatar with the makeup colors of NARS. And then they went outside and actually bought the product. And I was like, wow, that is actually part of the future. Right? You're going to customize your avatar. You're going to see the way you look, and you'll probably guide how you want to look in real life based on your avatar versus vice versa, where the first wave we've seen is, oh, this is how I look in real life. I want to be like that as an avatar. I mean, if you go and check my avatar, first of all, don't do that because you might be scared. It's a bit kind of a wacky clown. It has nothing. It doesn't look like anything like me. And what we're seeing now is there is this whole generation, they actually don't want to look real in the exactly. metaverse. They want to be imaginative avatars, because why would you limit yourself to the way you look?
No, God, geez, so many good points there, Jan. let me start with the first I can remember, which I thought was really good.
Sorry, my job is that. I'm dropping bombs.
I love it. I love it. conversations. But I think... Hey, like breaking the boundary of the sorts of brands that can go and build these experiences. Look, we've done things with makeup, perfume and digital. How does that show up? We were very successful doing that. Quick service restaurant, you know, Taco Bell. What does that look like in the metaverse? And consumables, right? You know, food and beverage. And so it's not, I just don't think like limited to fashion, digital fashion, fashion brands, which is a natural kind of first point. You know, beauty is doing really well. The things you built for NARS and ELF. And so I think if you know that the KPI or the thing right now is brand awareness, getting in front of that younger consumer, really building that credibility with them, that's the target right now. And so I think being really creative of how you can bring in things that people can't touch, smell, apply, put on their face, it can be done, and it's been done to great success. And so I don't think it has to be so linear. And to one of your second points is, I read the stat, I wish I had it in front of me. There were two really interesting about digital fashion, digital goods online. And I think one was like, the average Gen Z or something was willing to spend like $100 on digital fashion, digital assets, like in-game. I mean, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for those kids. But I think what's driving that is that is exactly what you said, is that desire to self-express in a way that isn't representative of them. Remember when like Bitmoji came out, you were like, oh, I got to find the one with the red hair that wears it pinned up and my eye shape. And you were trying to mimic yourself. But I think you hit it just right. Like,
that's millennials doing it. That's not Gen Z, right?
But I think you hit it exactly right of like, how do you get to try on different identities and have different self-expression? And you're totally spot on with that. I think, again, those brands, it's something to keep in mind as you come in and are building an experience, like how self-expression is, I think, one of the top reasons, you know, Gen Z often cites for wanting to go into these worlds and be an identity that they aren't tethered to like real world. And then one of my favorite stats, I think it's from Parsons School of Design. Maybe it's probably from 2023 now, but it said their fashion designers coming out of the program, one of the highest career aspirations they had was to be a digital fashion designer, even above working through the traditional ateliers and fashion houses. It was to create digital fashion. So I think, look, we have it, and Adidas has done a great job in this world too. So we're at the very beginnings, like you said, like the early, early days and the pioneers, and you see the big brands that are going in and experimenting. And I think it's really exciting. You can learn from best practices and see what's working and how to build. I think some, particularly the experiences your team has built, seem to remain really sticky and getting people to come back over and over and over. I love the integration in the e.l.f. experience in particular of teaching young kids to code and making there be a really tangible takeaway learning experience in it that kind of keeps people coming back more and more. And I think if you go into it with the heart, even marketers, it's not about monetizing this community. It's about building a community and experience for the community. If that is your primary objective, I think you can be really successful working, obviously, with talented people like your team to bring that to life. I think it's
Yeah, I agree. And I thank you for all the, you know, the kind feedback on our team. But really, this is such a new ground. And in any new ground, there is a rush, there is a gold rush. And we've seen it at spades over the last 3 years, right? We had the NFT boom in 21, then the metaverse in 2022. Last year, it was AI. This year, you know, it's kind of everything is bundled together and everyone is trying to really start making order of all of these different trends. I think I always try and, I don't try, I do just get into all of these perspective from the lens of the human. I'm not an engineer, I come from liberal arts, so I think a lot of marketers do that, of course. And so for all the CMOs out there that either are already experimenting on Roblox or thinking, from the experience of building with Paris Hilton and 1111 Media on Roblox, What is the one thing that surprised you the most about building an experience, a virtual world inside the Roblox platform, where really the predominantly we're talking about under 18, right, users? And that's something really important to remind people. There's never been a platform at that scale that allows you to directly interact with under 18-year-olds. When Facebook exploded in 2005, most of the people who use Facebook were above 18. I'm going to disclose my age now, but you know, 2005, 2006, you know, that's like 20 years ago. I was basically a young student around 21, 20, 22. So most of us were like, grew up on Roblox. We were already young adults. What happens now is that majority of these users are actually still kids and teens and youth. There's never been a platform on the internet or any platform where you could directly interact with this demographic. So going back to my question, what's the one thing you were surprised the most about building things for that audience on the Roblox platform?
Yeah, again, look, shout out. I'll shout her out again, Cynthia Miller over at 1111, who continues to carry the torch on all things innovation there and was really the driving force behind Sliving Land, or the original Paris World, and reimagining Sliving Land. Does a spectacular job. And I think, as you know, the CMO there, what really surprised me, or what surprised me about any sort of experience that is built on the platform, starting with Allo Sanctuary. I think, look, I'll give Angelique and team credit. The first time I ever heard of Roblox really was when she was talking about we're going to build meditation experiences, and people are going to come in. And I was in the gaming and esports world at the time, and I was like, wow, do you really think people are going to show up to do this? I was like, I kind of get it, but are they going to come back over and over? And, you know, fast forward 2 years, you know, sitting at 105.9 million people coming through that experience. And so I think, man, that's just what surprises me, right? And I think you nailed it. The sheer volume of people coming onto the platform daily at 70 million now every day, engaging with the platform, going through brand experiences, connecting with each other. I mean, that's just extraordinary. Like it's kind of like mind boggling when you think about the volume of people going through those experiences. And I think just that, I mean, I know that's not that profound of like, I think I was just
no, but yeah. But I think it's authentic of you to say, because I honestly, most people still just don't get it, and you know what, it's totally normal. Yeah. You know, I like to say to people, and I say it, and I'm in this for now. I mean, about a decade of building for this audience, and I like to say there is more in common between me and my 70-year-old mom than between me and a 10-year-old Roblox user, and that's true. That's true. You know, you go as you know, I'm 40. The first time I went into Roblox, which I think was around 2015, the first time I came across Roblox, I was completely disoriented. I'm like, how do you navigate this thing?
Right.
Like, how do you know what to do? Where to select?
You got stuck underwater on the Aloe Island once, like in like a weird underwater cave. And I was like, this is not built for me. And it's not built.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to nudge again. I'm going to challenge that actually. So I've had the good fortune to spend a good amount of time over with the team at Roblox. And I think really where things are going, which I'm excited about, is, you know, look, the data is the data, you know, 60% of the users on the platform are under 16. So yes, there is still a young audience that's there engaging. However, I do think as the worlds move away from, you know, version 1.0, where it was very blocky, hard to navigate and all of that, I do think the breadth of who is coming onto the platform, I'll make a prediction here, that if we look at the data at the end of 2024 into 2025, I think that demographic is going to age up a little. And as the experiences and maybe even the tie-ins to what we were kind of talking about earlier, loyalty programs come through this experience to get real world perks, I think that's going to have a natural expansion of kind of who's on there and engaging. And I think also as what I'll call live experiences within platform, you know, we've seen those people come in, music performances and that sort of thing. And I think as that technology continues to get better and better, where you're dropping exclusive content, exclusive co-viewing parties, whatever the hell it is, I think that will continue to expand the breadth of the audience that's going. What that looks like, it remains to be seen. But I do think the Roblox team is doing a good job of kind of starting to help and encourage the build of experiences on the platform that are not just for the super Gen Z, Gen Alpha, right? I think it'll continue to expand.
The big question, there's two big questions, I believe, for CMOs at the moment. One is more short term, I would say the next 2 to 3 years. And I think one is slightly longer, maybe like a 5 to 7 year time frame. The first question, the more short term in my mind, is will Roblox scale to be a platform where it justifies investing $5-10 million plus a year for a brand? And for that to happen, we spoke about it before, there will have to be that ability to full funnel conversion from a small, teeny tiny investment in a little shop experience on Roblox to I sold something for $10 to the user on my e-commerce website. Like that entire customer journey, right? And then Roblox can really become a component of a multi-channel, omni-channel strategy, which, you know, that's kind of the buzzword of the decade, omni-channel. So can Roblox really become, over the next 2 to 3 years, a key pillar on a CMO's omni-channel strategy Question number one. Yep. TBD, by the way, right? I mean, I before I move to the second one, I'd love to see, like, yeah. Do you agree with that assessment?
I do. I think you anchored us in reality earlier when you said the brand, even the big brands that are coming in, I think, you know, Nike, Walmart, all the experiences we've talked about, right? Your sense, and you know even better than I, of where the investment is placed in those sorts of experiences, like you said, you know, $500,000 or something like that, maybe.
I mean, the big ones are 1 to 2 million, the big ones, you know.
Exactly, the big, 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 very, very sophisticated layers and all of that. So, yeah, I mean, even the big brands with the deepest pockets are, by all measures, being incredibly conservative with it. And I think right now the KPI, the what does success look like? It's awareness, it's affinity, it's engaging with Gen Z in this sort of way, right? Really building that brand love around whatever your brand is there. There isn't the rest of the picture right now. And I do think, though I have an admonition to my fellow CMOs, I do think sitting in the CMO seat of bigger, substantial investments in something like this has to have a business case, right? Eventually, for things to escalate beyond kind of what I'll call the experimentation, test and learn, awareness, top of funnel sort of thing. And so I agree with you, like that ability to plug in with commerce and really show that sort of full conversion through the end is what will be required to really escalate those big, you know, 5, 10 plus whatever million dollar activations. Do I think it's possible? 100%. I know Roblox is working on those sorts of things. I think the one thing, because I am a purist and consumer first, always at heart. I know Corey over at Elf shares this feeling too, and Angelique too. Like what I don't want to see happen is what has the big potential to happen, which is brands flood in and it becomes like an overwhelming shopping experience. And then we forget the whole point, which is about co-creation, the community, and really building or facilitating an experience for the consumer that isn't about commercializing it to death. So it's a delicate balance, right? How do you continue to build and continue to build awesome experiences for people to come in those worlds and get brands to invest without so overdoing it that, you know, everybody's like, this is done for me because you're hitting me at all angles and it's not a great experience where I can come and be with my community anymore. So it's a real delicate thing. And I think the savviest leaders and builders and makers in the platform are really going to understand how to not cannibalize ourselves by going and making it such an overwhelming experience that all the people we're trying to engage with and build for are leave, right? Because that's the danger.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, in a way, obviously, people vote with their legs and their feet. So if the users don't like it, they won't come back. But I think at least at the moment, it seems a low likelihood that that could happen. It might happen just commercially, just an army of brands come in and so on and so forth. But it may not necessarily be received well by the community. And especially on the Roblox platform, and we talk about it a lot with Super Social, which is the community is very protective of what makes Roblox unique and special, and they don't necessarily gravitate as much as people thought they would toward these, oh, it's a big brand, it's AAA, or, you know, there's a lot of criticism internally from the community, and there's a lot of protectionism. And I think I'm curious to see how that plays out on the next 3 to 5 years. But I think your commentary is excellent. And that actually naturally leads me to the more slightly longer term, which is what happens beyond Roblox. And primarily, really, for a metaverse to emerge, it needs to be open. It needs to be web-based. It needs to be interoperable. It needs to be like when you go to Facebook and you click on a link, it takes you to another website on the web, right? Which is impossible today in any virtual world. Either it's a triple game that runs on Xbox console, or if it's a Nintendo Switch game, or if it's Roblox or Fortnite UFN experiences. They do not correspond to one another. You cannot get out of their walled gardens, any of them, actually. And I don't see the future as a Roblox is the metaverse. Fortnite is the metaverse. If yes, then we've all failed miserably in building really a metaverse, right? And so over the next 5 years, I think what CMOs are really going to care about I think we're way too early, but I see it coming, is how, what does a immersive internet or immersive web presence means for those brands? For example, these luxury brands or beauty brands will have their own quote unquote game world connected to the website. I don't know. Will any brand is going to be like Shopify? I want to have my own e-commerce. Will every brand want their own virtual world? Maybe, maybe not, maybe yes. But I think that's something that CMOs should start thinking about, right? What is beyond Roblox? If you do subscribe to the worldview that the immersive web is something that is bound to happen at some point, what does that actually mean for your brand? And what does it mean that suddenly all of these 3D avatar interaction, avatar expression, connectivity between virtual and IRL, what does that actually mean for your brand and for your customer engagement? Much further down the line, way less evidence on how you actually approach it, but again, reinforces why it's important to test and learn. And probably Roblox is the best large-scale prototype of what that future could look like, at least in my mind.
I think that's right. When I think of Roblox, I think of it, and I'm sure the metaverse enthusiasts will be like, that's not right. When I think of Roblox, it's exactly what you said, right? It's the first ground that people understand. There's an economy and an industry around it. I can call up, you know, you guys, and you can help me, you know, build a world. And I think it's the playground, and it's the natural entry point to the promise, or one of the entry points into the promise of what the larger metaverse, with the capital M, is and can be. What that looks like, I have no idea. You know, we'll have to come back together in 10 or 15 years and be like, wow, did we ever see that coming?
Well, that's up to the builders. That's up to us, the builders, to make it happen.
Exactly. I think the biggest wrestle for brands, CMOs in particular, is, you said it, is the interoperability, right? And boy, is that a tech problem, a tech challenge that I can't even begin to understand how to solve, or whether it's solvable. Should we solve it? Does it matter? Because I think as these different places to build and create your brand identity in these virtual worlds, right? You're talking about investment escalating bigger and bigger and bigger to show up in different places. And I think when you make that sort of investment in people's, your brand isn't necessarily portable to the experiences today. If I go into Elf Worlds in Roblox and collect badges or whatever digital assets, I can't take those with me anywhere, right? They're beholden to the Roblox platform. And I think that's a challenge for brands, right? When you're making an investment in building and you really are trying to create your digital identity in the virtual world, how do you do that, right? In so many different touch points. But like you said, I guess it becomes omni-channel plus, 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 where you have real world omni-channels, you know, the traditional that we all know. And then within digital realms, there are many different channels and places there. We're just so early, 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 early days, but it's exciting.
100%. Which leads me to, what is the one thing you're most excited about for 2024 when it comes to the wider conversation about the metaverse, and could be as high level and theoretical, and could be super specific, a certain trend, a certain tech, a certain launch.
You know, I am a person that I love creativity. I love when I see something clever and smart. I love those moments when you're like, why didn't I think of that? And every time one of these new worlds launches, I love seeing what resonates with the users that are coming through, the players that are coming through the experience. And I think that it's just what I look forward to. So I can't say specifically what it is, but I think anytime a new builder, a new experience creator shows up and does something that you're like, so smart. I love those moments. And so I'm sure we'll see more of them in 2024 and beyond. And so I just have such admiration for the builders and my CMO friends that I know are working on experiences and what they'll continue to create. One thing I think that I'd love to see more of is the, what I'll call more of the entertainment and sports brands coming in. I think consumer brands have done a good job. We've talked about a lot of them today, but you know, whether it's, you know, the streamers or the sports leagues, like how, you know, how do you bring that in to as a content distribution point, to a co-watching point, to a experience point, because suddenly you're going from something like the Super Bowl, right? Which, what did they get? 200 million viewers this year. I don't even know. Think about the possibilities to just amplify that sort of experience exponentially, even beyond what it is now. I know there are teams that have played and experimented. The Rams have done some really cool things in creating, but I think it's, again, like I said, it's still early days, and it's, I think the cool transition we're in now felt like early days. It was particularly for brands, how they showed up. It was like almost like a pop-up, right? It was a limited run experience. We built this thing. It's for a holiday. It's for whatever. And then you kind of see these places go dormant. Nobody's going in, right? And I think now we're in that phase of like, how do you get people repeatability, coming back, stickiness, engaging, creating, and then continuing to build and create these worlds and design them. And I think it's kind of like a theme park, right? Like Disney is always adding new experiences and showing up for their consumers and their guests. And I think that's kind of the way you have to think about it. And so I do think it's a big opportunity for some sorts of brands and company, enterprise companies that haven't kind of stepped in yet. So I'm excited to see that.
Fully agree. Very untapped. Just the beginning. Crystal, thank you so much. This has been a fun conversation. Congratulations on everything you've done and accomplished over the last few years, and excited to check in 2050, as agreed.
Yeah. Deal. In Roblox.
To be continued.
Roblox. 100%. In the metaverse.
We do need to do the next one in a native format as an avatar.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Into the Metaverse. We hope you learned a lot and explored new aspects of the metaverse.